You know, I like to liven things up typically, but it is Friday morning, 10:15, and we're here talking about insurance. And I'm Crispy Fry. I'm on your AHA governing committee, and I work at Ford Motor Company for 29 years, and 26 of them was in insurance. And about 10 years ago, Gary and I started thinking about the fact that we were growing up. We were growing up as an organization, and we're starting to become visible. And wouldn't it be good, like most groups have, some sort of group policy for insurance? And it's really quite evocative and interesting to see the results you get when you talk to people about what it is you do, what your activities involve, beer, and that you travel and have beer, and that you have some liability when 20, 30, 100 people leave somebody's home. And we've been going blind as an organization for a long time, and I said, well, look, I'm an insurance expert. I can get this done. And I approached about a half a dozen people. Some approached me. And the real challenge was we were not big enough. We were a gnats. We were small. And so I kind of gave up. About 3 years ago, I nuked a couple of hundred pages of files and just said, I give up. And Luke Dorbridge from one of our speakers today, AHA member, finds a year-and-a-half-old forum post and says, hey, I think I can make this happen. I think we can get you a good policy with the right things, the liquor liability, the things, the key things you need. And I was like, oh, great. I just nuked everything. But I remembered in my Word document the request for proposal, and after about, 150 emails or so, they came back with something with a company that I had done business with, Great American Insurance Company, with a solid, affordable, real deal policy. They have some other things in the works, and I don't want to steal their thunder. So, Jason and Luke, welcome.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you all for joining us. My name is Luke Dobrich. I'm with the West Insurance Agency. We are headquartered in Chicago, Illinois. We're an independent agency. We'll talk a little bit about our agency and our specialties as we move along here. But I wanted to ask, is anyone currently enrolled in our Home Brew Club program? Excellent. Excellent. Great. And the other members here that are involved in Home Brew Clubs but are not enrolled in the program, can you guys raise your hand? Okay. Excellent. So we got a little bit of both. We're going to review the outline of the program, some exposures that you have from a liability standpoint when you're running a club, the structure of the plan, how to enroll in it, and all the details all the way through, and then we'll have some time at the end for some questions and answers. As Chris mentioned, the program launched last September 1st of 2014. We are very excited about the participation, the initial participation in the enrollment of the program, and we think this is going to grow and grow and become a staple of the American Home Brewers Association. As of today, we have 253 clubs nationally that have enrolled in the program, and they comprised of those 253 clubs, there's 13,389 members of those particular clubs. Okay? As Chris was mentioning, we're going to talk about the journey from the AHA to get this program. But again, our agency's founded in 1929. We're an independent agency. We have some specializations in national franchise systems and then also association-type program insurance programs on a regional basis and on a national level. So it was a perfect fit for our agency. And then me in particular, I have some further specializations within the craft beer industry where I provide insurance programs locally in Illinois for craft breweries, distilleries, homebrew supply shops across the country, and then also provide, special event type coverage around craft beer festivals and those types of things. So again, with our expertise as an agency, it's a perfect fit. Here's how this all came about, as Chris was mentioning. Was it 15 years, 10, 15 years? 10 or 15 years of trying to establish a program for homebrew clubs. Some of the issues that were, keeping the program from happening include this. We wanted full liquor liability. The AHA wanted full liquor liability. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about technical aspects of insurance and policies and those types of things. I'm going to try to keep it high level, but some of these things are important to review to understand what this all means. So, standard on all general liability policies, there's an exclusion for liquor liability, and the exclusion language reads something close to, we will not cover liability associated with alcohol or liquor if the insured of the policy is in the business of manufacturing, distributing, selling, serving, or furnishing liquor. So if there's an incident that happens, there's a gray area there. Okay, the AHA and our agency, and we say we want to eliminate that gray area. We want the full liquor coverage. The liquor liability that's excluded on the general liability policy, we want to add the liquor liability full coverage, and we were able to do that. So the gray area is, if there's an incident, can a club be, when it gets into a litigation system in the court of law, could a club be construed as, because it's the whole purpose of the club is revolving around alcohol or liquor, could, you know, when it gets in front of a judge or jury, could they say, wait a minute, we're excluding this coverage, okay, on a standard general liability policy? You cannot do that now because we have the full liquor liability coverage. The other issue that the AHA faced was the ability to be available for all clubs in all states. So you might have a carrier that's willing to look at it, but, hey, we don't write in the state of Arkansas or the state of, California or any state. So you could have a regional that would be involved, but not in all 50 states. And then the last major hurdle was the cost to make it affordable for, the average size club is 50 members, across the country. So the cost associated with the club trying to secure the coverage that includes liquor liability on an individual basis can be astronomical when you start talking about what your membership is, So I put this bit in quotations and capitals there. If an individual club was willing to be able to secure the coverage to include liquor liability, and cover your special events that you may have, your teach your neighbor how to brew day, or a 4th of July party or picnic or Christmas party or those types of things, we're estimating it would cost anywhere from $2,500 to $5,000 per club on a minimum basis to provide the coverage. I mean, it's just not a cost effective. So we were able to approach a carrier, structure the policy with our experience in doing such of these policies to make it cost affordable for the clubs. Why is the coverage needed, you may say? So again, we're going to talk a little little technical insurance terms, keeping it high level. So the definition of general liability is an entity, a business, an entity, an organization, when you cause bodily injury or property damage to another while you're conducting your operations, okay? So the claim example would be for general liability would be, you have a learned to home brew day, you're brewing beer, things are getting heated up, there's beer flowing, and something falls over and knocks, in a parking lot, falls over, knocks down, and damages a vehicle that's parked in that parking lot. It spills and burns someone that's attending that event. So there's the bodily injury, there's the property damage exposure that your club has. That's a general liability real-life claim that your club could come across. From a liquor liability perspective, I think that's pretty straightforward. You have a meeting or a special event, someone has one too many, gets behind the wheel, and again, it's not so much that person being covered, but the bodily injury or property damage that they cause to another while having one too many and getting behind the wheel, that family member or anyone then comes back and says, where was that person coming from? What were they doing? And they, lawyers find out, they were at the XYZ Homebrew Club's event. And that's when all of a sudden, boom, anybody can get named in a suit. So the club could be named in a suit. Individual members of that club could be named in a suit. All those types of things based on that liquor liability exposure. So those are two real life claim exposures that a club has based on what you guys do. And the other part that is really important to understand when you purchase a general liability policy or a liquor liability policy, the insurance carrier, in our case Great American Insurance Company, is providing the defense costs to defend your club or you as an individual member against a suit that may be named against you. So the carrier is going to come in and provide the lawyer team to provide the defense costs that are all included in the scope of the policy. That's really what you're getting when you purchase a liability policy, in addition to, should your judge or jury say that you were negligent and you owe, then you have those liability limits in place as well. So that's the general outline of you know your basic insurance 101 of why your club needs it. The policy, we'll get into the meat of the policy that we have put together now. So again, Great American Insurance Company is a national carrier. They're an excellent insurance carrier. They're rated A plus superior financially by AM Best, so they're financially stable. They do a wonderful job, and they do a great job of specializing programs or developing programs for organizations like the AHA. It's a certain division that we have access to that we deal with that does a great job with this and are very excited about putting together a program. We're wonderful to work with and excited about developing a program kind of from scratch specifically for homebrew clubs. So the policy itself has a general liability limit. There's separate limits for both general liability and liquor liability. This is exciting stuff, right? I mean, I'm pumped. I am pumped. So general liability, we have $1 million limit of liability per occurrence and a $3 million aggregate limit. Separate limit for liquor liability of $1 million per occurrence, $3 million aggregate limit. And then on top of that, we have a $10 million umbrella. Okay? I know what that means. I'm going to tell you what that means now. So what this really means when I'm talking about those types of things is that for this program, we have a total liability limit of $11 million for any one claim that could happen, and a $13 million aggregate limit. So that's the most the carrier would pay for any one policy term for a one-year period for any claims. The way that the program has to be structured is the clubs that enroll are sharing those liability limits. Everybody's sharing those liability limits. That's the only way that you can structure a program like this to make it so cost effective. We sat down with Chris and Gary at the AHA, and we sat down with Great American Insurance Company, and we kind of said, okay, what type of umbrella limit are we comfortable with because we're sharing that limit? And so we put together that $10 million limit initially. As this program grows, which it will, and it goes from 253 members or clubs enrolled to 500 and 700 or 1,000, we're gonna circle back to Great American and say, hey, wait a minute, we have, you know, instead of 13,000 club members that are enrolled, we now have 30,000. We want to bump up that umbrella, and we're going to use the scope of the group to leverage back against the carrier to make sure that we're keeping this as cost-effective as possible. Okay, and then the defense costs. The big thing to understand from an insurance perspective is the $11 million and the $11 and $13 million that we're talking about do not include the defense costs. Those are separate and outside those limits of liability and uncapped. So what that means is if a club is named in a suit, the carrier's Great American is going to pay for that defense cost. If it's $500,000, you still have an $11 and $13 million to pay for any claim. So it's not reducing those limits of liability. A key part to understand, because sometimes they're included in those limits and they can reduce them. In this case, they don't, which is great. Exclusions. We're going to come back to exclusions. And as I look over here at Jason, it reminds me Jason Coperny from our office in West Insurance. He is the real reason what happened. Jason emailed Gary. Jason's a home brewer, AHA member. He knew that I was getting involved in the craft beer industry from an insurance perspective. He knew our association type business that we can do, and said, he asked me, do you think we can do this? And I said, yeah, we can do that. He's like, well, I'm going to email Gary Glass. He's like, I don't know him, you know, but he sent that email. And Jason got the ball rolling and it got it started to where we were able to pull that together. So, Jason, give a hand round of applause for Jason for doing that. Okay, so the program itself, here's where we're going to talk about, you know, the numbers. The cost to enroll in the program is $3.50 per club member. So this is tough math here. I had to hammer this math out for a long time. But if you have a club with 100 members, that costs $350 per year to enroll in the program to get the coverage and details that we're talking about here. Quite a bit different than trying to secure the coverage on your own at $2,500 or $4,000. If you could secure it that included liquor liability, and if you could secure it that included your special events that you handle. Because sometimes you might find a carrier that can do it for, maybe be able to do it, but it doesn't have liquor liability. Yeah, we can do it, but we're not going to include your special events. You know, so you really need to understand what the policy is covering. The other big key to take away here is the AHA is not accepting any compensation from Great American, from West Insurance at any point in this program. They're doing it completely as a value-added benefit of being a member of the AHA. That's a key point to take away. Gary and Chris, right from the jump, said, we want to pass along these savings. We're not looking at this as a revenue-generating thing. We want to pass along these savings to our members as a value-added benefit. And they're able to do that at that $3.50 per member. So what does the coverage provide coverage for? It provides coverage for your club meetings. It provides coverage for your club-sponsored special events up to 1,000 people in attendance. That's a key takeaway there. Majority of clubs do not have events that are over that size in attendance. Some do. But the coverage automatically includes your sponsored special events up to that threshold, which is awesome. The other part of it that the carrier wants to make clear is if you do have a club sponsored, you're the sponsor, your club is the sponsor of the special event. If it's over 1,000 in attendance, I just had a recent one in a club reached out to me in Oregon who are having an event. This is their 8th annual craft beer festival that they're the sponsor of that has 3,500 people that attend. You reach out to me, send me an email, or Jenny in our office who helps me with this program, and the carrier says we need to underwrite this a little further to find out what the details of this larger event is. And then once they provide you online, there's an application that you complete with the details of that special event at that larger size, and then the carrier comes back for an additional premium and say, yes, we can cover this particular event. Here's the price on it. Now, I will tell you, The event that happened in Oregon, extremely well run, well organized. In the insurance world, we call it the controls that are in place. So, fenced off, security team, private security team, one entrance. They work with the local police that patrol the area, wristbands. All of these servers are trained with, whether it be like called the TIPS program or any program. They have an Oregon-based program where they are certified to serve alcohol. All of those things were in place. They completed the application. We sent it to Great American. Great American, the underwriter, looked at it, and for $255, they're providing the coverage for that event. Unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Event coordinator had said that they had secured coverage in the past for it was like $1,500 or $2,000 for that one special event. Okay, so Great American is willing to work with us on those types of things. It's great. How to enroll? Okay, we again have tried to make this program as easy as possible to enroll. Everything is automated. Okay, everything can be done online. The enrollment process can be done online. To make your premium payment can be done online. We email you your evidence of coverages, all those types of things. We have a dedicated, on our agency website, we have a dedicated link to the program. The website address is here. When you go to our website, you can't really see this here because I had to make it smaller. But it has on that landing page there, those details are constantly updated with what's going on with the program. So right now it says the next enrollment period will open on July 1st of 2015 for the coverage to take place on September 1st. Okay, these are for newly enrolled clubs. For clubs that have already enrolled, we're going to send you an email stating, hey, your policy is coming up for renewal. Here's the next steps that you have to do to enroll, and we guide you through the process. So anything that you need can be done on this landing page here. Details about the program. There's FAQ, questions about the program with answers. The initial enrollment form or applications on here. How to make a payment. All on those links on the bottom. Okay? So going back to this part, here's how the process works. You go to this site and complete the initial enrollment application. You click on that link, that's where what pulls up. That's the application. That's the complete application right there. You complete, fill in those details. Name of club, number of members, contact, email, everything like that. Do you host any events over 1,000 in attendance is one of the questions, and then you hit submit. That's the initial details. We get an email, and we send you a response saying you're not yet enrolled in the program. here's the final things that we need in order for you to enroll in the program. We need, the carrier needs, a current club member roster in digital format, names only, to show you the number of club members that you have in your club. And then a confirmation that one of the requirements is your club needs to be registered with the AHA on their site. So you go online and your club's registered. If you have those two things, you know, once you give us those two things, we're able to enroll you after you make your premium payment. So once you send that email back, when we say, based on your enrollment, you have 100 club members, it's $350 for you to enroll, and we guide you back to our website to make your payment, which has to, and again, the only payment that we accept for the program is a credit card payment, okay? It can be a personal credit card of one of your members, and then you can have your club reimburse you, however you want to do it. But, you know, again, in order to pass along the cost savings and keep the administration low, we're only accepting the credit card payments all through a secure site. So you hit the make a payment link, and it takes you to this authorized.net site, and you can complete and submit your credit card payment. You submit your $350. We get a notification, and then we send you an email saying you are now enrolled in the program. Here is your evidence of coverage, and we'll send that to you, and you're enrolled and you're ready to go. Okay. But again, any type of, you know, anything can be found here on our dedicated website here. So once you get your coverage in place, you may have scenarios where you're looking to have a meeting at a location. The location may say, wait a minute, we're not allowing your club to have your meeting or your event at our site unless you show us that you have insurance in place, liquor liability, general liability, whatever. You have the ability within this enrollment to comply with that request. And you have the ability to name, if it's requested or required, to name that host site as an additional insured on the policy. So we can provide you with a certificate of insurance to provide to that host site that has their entity named as an additional insured on our policy to comply with that request. Now, the one thing that I would say, there's a lot of clubs that are very excited about getting insurance maybe for the first time and want to just go, hey, do you want to be an additional insured on this policy? We'll name you as additional insured on this policy. That's not really what the carrier wants you to do. That's not really what you want to do, because you're affording coverage. You're basically bringing more exposure onto our policy by doing that. So the key thing is it's got to be a requirement, either a verbal agreement, written agreement, a contract, in order for that additional insured to take place. But if that is a requirement, we can comply with that. Some of the details that we'll just need is the name. You know, Jenny Caldwell within our office processes all those certificates. She can turn them around within the same day, as long as it's not, you know, toward the end of the business day. Otherwise, it'll be the next day in the morning. But she can provide that information or provide that certificate if you give us the name of the requesting entity, their address, and the details of the request. So there might be, they might have, you always want to review if there's any special requirements that are like outside of a normal request. Like somebody may say, hey, you might need a $20 million umbrella. We'll review that for you and say, wait a minute, you might want to go back and say, we can't comply with this, or we don't want to comply, and you can negotiate that with that entity that's requesting it. The other part, again, this is a little bit technical, but the difference between a certificate holder and additional insured is a key part. So you might have that requesting entity that states, we want to just make sure that you have insurance. We want proof of insurance. Then you provide that for them with the certificate holder status. That's just saying, yes, our club has insurance in place. Here are the details on our policy. The additional insured status affords coverage on our policy for that requesting entity. Again, you don't want to do that unless it's required or requested by them. So it's a key takeaway. Common questions about the program. How are new members, we have fluctuations in membership, how are they handled during new members that come on during the policy term? Okay, the key part to take away is, one, the new members are automatically included for coverage so long as your club is enrolled. At the renewal time, the carrier is going to request an updated club member roster, and that fluctuation in membership is going to be picked up at that time. It is it's an unbelievable thing that the Great American is willing to do. Most carriers will audit, you know, whatever the rating basis on a policy, they'll provide an audit at the end of the policy term and say, hey, you told us you had 100 members. At the end of the year, how many did you have? You had 110. give us the additional premium based on that additional membership. Great American, you know, again, to keep the administration costs down, they're saying we're not going to audit this. The audit basically is going to happen when the club provides us with an updated club roster. Very, very cool. The one part that I want to make sure everybody understands is the number of when your members pay their dues and this insurance program are completely separate. So if you normally have 100 members but only 50 of them have paid their dues up to this point, you're going to pay the premium based on that normal membership. Okay? So you can't it's a little bit on the honor system that we don't, because again, the carrier can at any point audit your membership. If there's a claim and you had said you have 10 members and it turned out you had 500 and there's a situation where there's a claim, the claims adjuster is going to come in and conduct any type of investigation to find out what's going on. And then if they come back and look at something and say, wait a minute, you had 500 people at this meeting, but you said you have 10 members. What's going on here? And you could possibly jeopardize coverage or jeopardize the future of the policy. So it's just a understanding that family memberships, when your members pay their dues, completely separate. If you have 100 members normally, that's what you're going to pay for the program. Okay? How does the policy coverage get renewed? I've kind of talked about that already. A couple months. So the policy is going to always renew on September 1st of every year. Couple months, July 1, we're going to send out emails to all the clubs that are already enrolled and say, your policy is coming up for renewal. We need an updated club member roster, and we need your payment. Once you give us that updated club member roster, we say, okay, based on your new membership, here's your renewal premium, guide you back to our website, make your payment, and you're enrolled and renewed. Okay, so very simple. Another question I get a lot is, how does the policy respond to a meeting at a club member's house? And the part that's, liability is not black and white. Liability is very gray. So whenever I get that question, I ask about 10 additional questions. Well, what happened at the club member's house? What was the situation? You know, and because I can't give a straight answer to that, because here's the scenario. A club member has a dog or has steps that are not been updated and somebody falls down. Who's really liable there? Is it the homeowner or is it because of the club activities? Okay, so that's what's going to get hammered out with that type of thing. So there's a little bit of a gray area. I can't give you a straight answer other than if the claim at that club member's house is a direct result of the club's activities, yes, there's coverage afforded on the policy. But you know, I get a lot of questions about, you know, if you have a pool and somebody falls in the pool, who's is that the homeowner's liability policy that should respond or the homebrew club's? Okay, the policy is going to afford coverage for the club regardless, but it's just a matter of could that individual homeowner's policy be brought in and respond as well? And the answer is yes, it probably would as well. Okay, but it's a little bit of a gray area. The next part would be, and this isn't really a question. This is proper risk transfer techniques from an insurance person's perspective to you as a club member or a club club. If your club is the host of an event, any event, host of a meeting, host of a special event, the host, and you are going to bring in vendors, other vendors that are going to serve beer, anything that you're going to do. You, as the sponsor of that event, are ultimately responsible for everything that happens at that event. What you should do is properly transfer the risk associated with your participating vendors at your event by you requesting them to provide you with a certificate of insurance, showing they have insurance in place, and name your club as an additional insured on their policy, properly transferring the risk associated with their activities at your event. If you do not do that, or that vendor does not have insurance, and there's an incident with what they're doing at your sponsored event, it's going to flow up, and ultimately you're going to be your club, your policy is going to need, be on the hook, basically. So you want to properly transfer that risk associated with it. Just the same as a meeting site will want you to do the same in order for you to have your activities on their site. Okay, just something to understand. If anybody ever has any questions from an insurance perspective, pick up the phone, send me an email, and we can talk you through it and guide you. So the club in Oregon that has that special event, I reviewed with that festival coordinator what the proper steps that you should do. And he said, oh, Luke, we do that. We do all those things already. And I said, excellent. That's great. The last question, we're going to go back up to the exclusions now. So I get a lot of questions about what's excluded on the policy. And the answer is there are some standard exclusions that are on all liability policies, and these are also kind of excluded and included in our policy. So, for example, pollution is excluded, war, nuclear activity, biological, chemicals, those types of things are always excluded on all standard liability policies. The other thing that's always going to be excluded is coverages that are properly covered on other policies. For example, auto. Our policy is not going to provide auto liability because that you should have your vehicles should have their own auto liability, whether they're personally insured or personally owned, personally insured, or if they're owned by the club, which I don't think that we've come across that, but if they're owned by the club, then they should be insured by the club on a commercial auto policy, not on a general liability policy. Abuse, molestation, harassment, again, those types of things excluded on the policy, properly covered on a different type of policy. Damage to property that you own, if any club owns any physical property, that should be insured on a property policy, not on a liability policy, so the exclusions included. The other one that's a little bit of a gray area is athletic activities. So I have some clubs that are having 5K walk runs where there's brew involved and those types of things. There's a athletic participant exclusion on the policy. So if a participant sprains their ankle, they're not going to be afforded coverage on the policy. Now, if the club's named in a suit based on some of those types of things, the policy is going to respond. But for that medical, that participant's going to have to sue your club in order for the coverage to respond. So the biggest thing, if you have one of those types of events, pick up the phone or shoot me an email, and we'll go back to the carrier, Great American, and say, hey, this is the event. Here's the details. How would you like, is there coverage afforded? How would you like to do it? Because they may say, we're not comfortable, affording the coverage in this program, but I can help you out, get it with a special event, one-time special event policy to cover those types of things to include the accident coverage for participants. The last exclusion is directors and officers liability. And that is another exclusion because that coverage is picked up on a separate policy or coverage. I have had a lot of clubs contact me about that specific coverage, and we're going to talk about that right now. You guys, how we doing? Everybody all right? Yeah, good, good, good. Jason, you got anything? Okay. So, directors and officers insurance. I have a lot of clubs that have asked me, Luke, do we have directors and officers coverage within our program? If not, can you provide coverage for that? The answer is it's not included on the current coverage, but we have approached Great American to set up a similar type program, a master policy program for directors and officers coverage, to provide that coverage for clubs. The technical insurance, so general liability and liquor liability, that's a different set of exposures than D&O. So general liability covers and liquor liability covers actions, so bodily injury or property damage caused by the activities of your club. Directors and officers liability covers the decisions the directors and officers of your club make. Okay? So that's the big difference. So the specific examples for what is a D&O exposure for a homebrew club, and it could be a discrimination type lawsuit. A member or a prospective member says that I was not allowed membership or I was kicked out of a club based on discrimination and files a suit against the directors and officers of a club. That's one example. The other thing could be an existing member files a suit against the club or the directors and officers of the club because they don't like the direction in which the club is being run. Maybe something happened to jeopardize nonprofit status, or they said, we're going to use our funds for one thing, and we used it another, and there's a suit filed. Those are the type of things that is a director and officer's type exposure. The one thing that's important to understand when you're a director of officer of any type of organization, whether it be on, you're sitting on a board, you're the director of a homebrew club, you're, volunteering on any type of situation, where you're a director and officer of a organization, your personal assets technically are at risk based on the decisions that you make while you're representing that club. Okay? So that's a that if there's no D&O coverage, because it's not included in the general liability or liquor liability coverage, which it's not, and one of those situations happen, you are basically, as the director and officers, you're personally liable for those types of decisions that you make. So the new coverage that we're putting together, again, this is they're two separate policies. The Homebrew Club program is going to operate still as we discussed here, and the D&O offering, which also is going to roll out on 9-1, is going to provide coverage for those clubs. It's you as a club do not have to join this program. If it helps you sleep better at night to have this coverage, you can do so. And it's going to provide $1 million limit per club and a $10 million aggregate limit for D&O liability, directors and officers liability. And then we're going to offer tiered, the Great American is going to offer tiered pricing based on the size of your clubs. So for clubs from 0 to 75 members, that coverage is going to be $250 annually, 75 to 150, 350, and then 151 and above at $450. The average cost for a club to secure this coverage individually is around $750 to $1,250. So again, the Great American is willing to step forward and to pass along some cost savings for you if you want to have this type of coverage. Again, AHA is not generating any revenue for this program as well. And they're looking at it as a value add to the membership. Again, from an insurance perspective, your number one exposure as a club is your liquor liability. Okay, your liquor liability and then your general liability of the scenarios that we talked about. The exposure for a D&O type claim is there, but is it as large as the general liability and liquor liability coverage? No. But if it helps you to round out your coverage, sleep better at night, those types of things, we can do it. Some of larger size clubs may and club directors and officers that have experience on other boards may say, well, some people say I'm not sitting on any board or I'm not going to be the director of anything unless that entity has D&O coverage in place. That's some people that understand that they're, you know, I don't want to do that because my personal assets could be at risk. That's a summary of the program. Again, that's a new offering here that we're rolling out. So I'll be reaching out to clubs that have followed up with me on their interest with that directly. How are we doing? Time. Does anyone, any questions about the program itself or anything? Go ahead.
10.
There's a mic here. If you want to ask questions, come to the mic so they can get it in the audio stuff.
Go ahead.
Just one question about not all of our club members are AHA members. Is that a factor in
excellent question. No, that is not a factor. They do not have to be. You do not have to be an AHA member in order to have coverage afforded in this program. Mm-hmm.
As a licensed insurance broker, I appreciated the lower level details that you provided.
Yep.
As an actuary, I need to ask, can you give us some examples of claims that have actually paid out from the policy and some that have been denied?
On our program here?
On this program, yes.
Currently, we have had zero claims. Everybody knock on some wood here. Everybody knock on wood. We have had no situations where the policy has had to come into place as of yet. Not one. Good. Oh, yeah.
It's messing with me. In our discussions with this and Gary Glass, there has not been in 15 years a known liability claim to a homebrew club in America. Not that we're aware of, and Gary, I think, would be aware of it. There's no doubt that people have left meetings and may have incurred damage and liability, and we might have been lucky. They may have used their homeowners, may not have mentioned that they had just left a club meeting, but to date, there have been no claims.
Thank you. Well, given that answer, this question may be a moot point, but I had a question about that umbrella policy that's shared by everybody.
Sure.
Thinking that if there was some freakish thing happened and a whole bunch of clubs had an incident happen in the same year, that means everybody's coverage would be reduced because it would be distributed among anything that was beyond the individual policy limits would be distributed among the remaining groups.
That is correct. We have that $13 million aggregate limit for any one policy term. If there's a claims activity that exhausts that entire $13 million, then yes, we're we're out of limits, and we're going to try to do some other things in order to try to, you know, go back to the carrier. Maybe we can get something increased, those types of things, in order to not have the program, you know, just disintegrate.
Hi. Maybe this question is based on the fact that I live in the Los Angeles area where you could throw a rock and hit an attorney.
Right.
But I would think that my first gut feeling is that the coverage limits maybe are too low. Maybe make that price point $5 per member and see if we can get a little bit higher amount of coverage. I think $350 is extremely low. And maybe a little bit higher, I think, would make people feel a little bit more at ease. Just a suggestion.
And you mean as far as increasing the limits of the...
Yeah.
And that's something that we're going to review on an annual basis, especially what we want in setting up that we wanted to make sure that our price point and our limits, we were, you know, that were such a way to not impede the enrollment of the program. And then as it grows again, we're going to continue to revisit that and we'll go back to the carrier and say maybe, or go, you know, we'll talk with the AHA about maybe bumping that umbrella up to where, again, if we have 500 or 1,000 clubs that have enrolled, yeah, we're going to have to revisit that for sure.
First of all, I'd like to say thank you for having this program.
You're welcome.
As an example, we looked at putting on a How to Brew Day, and the place we wanted to do it was a vacant lot, but the lot owner wouldn't even let us do it unless we had insurance. Mm-hmm. And I went to a broker. It was $450.
Sure.
For one day.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
know, so.
And was it going to cover liquor liability as well, or –
We weren't going to serve. We were just
just for the general liability. Yep,
yeah,
for sure.
Mm-hmm. But the D&O thing caught my attention mm-hmm. because, you know, I'm the prez. So the difference between holding an event and making a decision. I mean, you make a decision to hold an event,
right?
And I wasn't sure where that breakpoint, where the director and officer thing versus the club liability.
So when you make a decision to hold that event, you're also saying we're going to host that event, but we're also going to enroll in our program to provide general liability and liquor liability for that event. So that mitigates that exposure from that particular decision. Now because there's coverage that can be afforded for that event on a general liability and liquor liability policy. From a D&O perspective, it's going to be the decisions would be the decision to, you know, in your everyday dealings and running with the clubs from a financial perspective or those types of things. But there is a little bit of a gray area between those types of things, and that's why that D&O coverage comes into play to kind of close that gap in coverage. I don't know if I answered that question
but it's just as fuzzy.
Yeah.
By making the decision to hold an event.
Mm-hmm.
Does that open me as the officer to anything, or is it just the liquor and general liability?
Well, so the question, answering your question with a question would be, are you saying if there's an incident that happened that caused bodily injury or property damage at that event?
Correct.
That you decided to hold,
correct.
Are you exposed from a D&O perspective? And my answer is no, because you have the appropriate coverage to respond to that exposure that of the activities of that event.
But on the other hand, if I made a decision that hypothetically whites only, then I
correct.
Would
correct. There you go. Now would, you, correct. Now okay. Now that's a D&O exposure that's not going to be covered on that.
Okay.
Yes.
Got
exactly.
it. Thank you.
No problem.
Again, Luke, thanks so much for working on this for us. I know our club was very worried about liability issues for our meetings and so forth. I also happen to be an officer for our club,
sure.
And so the D&O coverage was something that has come up in discussions a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know the insurance world all that well, but I was just wondering, what is the difference in the liabilities of the D&O stuff compared to the liquor liability and so forth that makes the coverage cost, the cost of that insurance so much more, at least for a small club.
Right, and that's a good question. And in the insurance world, you deal with what's called minimum premium. So the carrier says we need X amount of dollars in order to afford a certain amount of coverage. The reason why we're able to provide the general liability and liquor liability at such an affordable cost is we're using the scope of a certain number of an enrollment So right now we have 253 clubs and those 13,000 people. With the DNO program, we said we're not sure how many clubs are going to, as we launch this, we're not sure how many clubs are going to want to purchase this coverage. We have the carrier said, well, if you can get maybe 25 clubs, we can offer those tiered pricing. But again, if we have a larger, as we grow with the DNO portion, we can continue to go back to the carrier and say, hey, now we have 250 clubs that have enrolled in the DNO program, and then we can leverage that to bring that the cost associated with that down. But it's all from an insurance perspective, it's all a numbers game. We have the ability to use the scope of the American Home Brewers Association and the clubs to say, hey, there's 2,500 clubs across the country, and we think we're going to get a good chunk of that for the general liability and liquor liability coverage, and we're able to negotiate with the carrier on the pricing. With the DNO, we're a little bit more. Not sure of what type of level of involvement we're going to get. So with that uncertainty, they have the pricing of the way it is initially. Yep. 10 questions?
I've narrowed it down.
Okay.
And we've been really concerned about insurance for our club for years as well. Mm-hmm. One of the things we did, we wrote a club charter, and we had a page on the back that we had people sign saying, you will hold the officers harmless. This is personal responsibility. We never knew if that was anything that would really work in a situation where somebody wanted to sue the club or sue an officer. Mm-hmm. Would that be something we don't need to even think about with a policy like this?
That's really a question more along the lines for a lawyer. Mm-hmm. When you talk about hold harmlesses and waiver, limitation of liabilities and those types of waivers, those things can work as a deterrent for litigation. I would say from our experience that most of those things do not hold up in court, but again, that's something to talk with a lawyer about, because I don't have that answer, but it's a deterrent helps anything.
And I think that was our immediate goal with that. Also a question about the liquor liability. How does that come into play? I mean, is it just to cover beer versus mead versus, are we talking about
alcohol?
Just to cover, were there two different levels?
No.
So it's just everything?
Correct.
Okay.
Alcohol, liquor, beer.
And then a question about festivals and us. So our club is a key participant in some large festivals, and we sponsor, a large area where we'll get other homebrew clubs to pour kind of under our event umbrella.
Okay.
Are we generally looking at that festival to hold insurance against all of us?
Who's the sponsor of the festival?
It'd be the city of Oakland.
Okay. Does the city then, for you to participate, have they requested any type of insurance or certificates or anything?
Kind of asked about it for years, mm-hmm. and they've said, well, we have coverage for the festival.
Okay.
But I've never known the right terminology or what to ask them to say. Are we covered? Are our members covered? We're here, basically doing something for free for the event to, teach the public about homebrewing and the joy of it. But, are we covered or?
Right. So again, that situation for that event sponsor, they're technically on, it's going to flow up to them. The liability is going to flow up to them. If they're not pushing that down or transferring that down to the vendors or the participants like your club, it's not your responsibility to say, hey, do we need to name you as additional insured? It's really technically their responsibility as the sponsor to be advised probably by an insurance person to say, wait a minute, you can't bring anybody on here unless they have insurance and for their activities, because they're picking up the exposure. Now, could you be named, could you, your club be named individually on a suit based on that event? Yes. And so you say, well, what are the scenarios in that? Either you have liability or you have insurance in place to respond for your club being named individually in that suit, or you say, well, we don't have insurance, and then it's in the system where is it going to go? Is it going to flow up past you, or are you going to be held personally, your club going to be held on the hook as well as the sponsoring person? The best situation, again, is to your club, you're covering your club. Should your club or your members be named in a suit based on any activities that you do, regardless of if you're the sponsor or just a participant in a festival situation?
Okay. And then one other general question, back when we were talking about adding like a host site where we're going to be?
Yeah.
Can those be added on the fly as things change throughout the year?
Absolutely. Okay. So on a general liability policy or a liquor liability policy, we have an endorsement to the policy that provides additional insured status when requested or required by another entity on an unlimited basis, and there's no additional charges for that. Some policies, if it doesn't have that endorsement, you'll get charged every time you need to hand out an additional insured status or a certificate to someone else, and it could be $100 or $150 every single time you do it. When you include that automatic endorsement, there's no additional charges. And again, at any point during the policy term, you email me or email Jenny Caldwell in our office, and we can turn those over for you very quickly.
Great. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Just a real quick question here. Back to your exclusions. You mentioned athletic events.
Yes.
Most of us, you know, most of our clubs have like a summer picnic or something. Mm-hmm. Our club actually rents a bouncy house for the kids.
Oh, boy. Oh, yeah. I did not hear that. Woo.
But
is this being recorded? You
know, yeah.
Oh, no.
So, you know, wanted to understand where something like that does, or a pickup baseball game or horseshoes or something like that at a club-sponsored summer picnic.
Those impromptu type events, it's basically talking about competition. So if it's a more organized competition, like a race or a 5K or those type of things, that's where that participant exclusion comes into play. Now, the bouncy house issue, that scares the heck out of insurance carriers. Entity that's going to rent, the business that's renting you that bouncy house, in their documents and forms, they don't bring on any liability associated with that. That's passed along directly to whoever's renting it. You know, most of the time they don't even set it up. You're in charge of setting it up. There's been some incidents where obviously kids have gotten hurt. Wind has blown those things over. Different things have happened. So the insurance carriers are extremely scared about those. We work with a local school district that a teacher wanted to bring it for a picnic, a bouncy house, and we went to their program, the carrier's the program that the school's involved in, and they said we would highly recommend that you do not bring one of those in. They were talking about having the kids sign waivers and those types of things. But they didn't say, "Hey, we wouldn't cover it." But it's something that's it's a touchy subject right now from an insurance perspective. Yeah.
Do you cover the spilt beer?
Yes.
So we had a question. There's about 15 guys in the neighborhood that brew. We don't have an official brew club.
Okay.
But when we saw the insurance part would come up, we started thinking that we keep hosting a pub crawl. So there's five of us that host. We bring about 150 neighbors in to drink beer, but one of them drove last year. That kind of scared all of us.
Sure.
We told everybody, don't drive, drink water, eat before you come. But if we wanted to get involved, what one is, do we need to set up an LLC? I mean, that was our big issue was, as we're going to these houses,
right,
is somebody going to go, oh, I drank Joe's beer and now I did something stupid? Do we need to create an LLC? You're shaking head no.
No, the carrier does not require you to have formal structure, so you don't need to set up a nonprofit status or set up a legal entity in order to afford coverage of this. You do have to organize into a club and be registered with the American Home Brewers Association on their site in order to be afforded coverage. That's what's really tying it all together, is your club's affiliation with the American Home Brewers Association.
And since we're loosely gathered, this 15 group of, guys, we will just all of a sudden say, hey, we're drinking over at somebody's house and have 50 people show up.
Mm-hmm.
What all of a sudden starts to characterize an event? And how do we decide that was an event of
it's
a
got,
club?
You have to have some structure and organization. If you're going to be a club, you might want to put in, again, you're looking at from the situation of if something should happen, you're going to have that claims adjuster come in and provide the investigation. If he says, well, these are just five guys that just went to the bar and they're trying to get afforded coverage based on that, it could be a sticky situation that you want to avoid. So I would recommend organizing to some, putting minutes together if you're going to elect some type of officer or director or those types of things, and do those types of things, register with the American Home Brewers Association, and then get involved. But there's got to be some structure to your club in order to.
So as long as we were to state and have minutes that say we're having an event on this date,
sure,
then we have an event.
That there's your organization.
All right, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
Yeah. I was trying to give everyone else a chance.
Yep.
Do you discourage the adding members who host meetings at their house to be added as an additional insured? Because I know my homebrew club, we don't have a one site that we can meet at all the time. So there is a site that we were able to go to a few times a year, but then the members have to take up the slack.
Sure.
And wanting to provide them, I know some of them, they have steps at their house, and if someone falls down after having a few, you know, we don't really want to put the liability on them and their homeowner's insurance. So, but is that something that you kind of discourage?
Naming an individual member as an additional insured on the policy?
For hosting a club meeting at their place.
Well, technically, on the policy, the named insured on the policy includes the registered homebrew clubs of the, you know, registered homebrew clubs affiliated with the American Homebrewers Association and its members, individual members, but only with regards to the activities connected to the club. So technically, the individual member is already an insured on the policy, so they don't need to be named as an additional insured. But again, it's that gray area between is the liability associated with club activities or just normal homeowner type exposures.
Is Great American in charge of turning that gray area to black and white?
We're working with them on that, but I don't know. Again, there's just so many questions that could happen about what the specific scenario is that caused the issue or incident, that it's hard to just make that completely black or white.
Okay.
It is a little bit of an issue. Now, hey, I'm an insurance person. I am probably we'd be scared to death of hosting, you know, but again, you can't. I would be afraid of, depending on what type of activity that is going to be at my event, I'm going to know that I'm taking on some type of liability personally, and my homeowner's policy might be come into play.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then just one – this is my last question, then I'm away
That's
from the
okay.
microphone. As far as the confirmation, the AHA confirmation for
yeah.
the club, how is – as far as I know, we don't have any kind of paperwork that says, hey, Pacific Gravity, you are a member of AHA. What kind of documentation are you looking for?
We don't really need documentation. We just want confirmation. And we as Jenny or myself, will go on the AHA site where you can see what clubs are registered with the AHA. We can search you that way. So basically, we're kind of putting it back on you to make sure that you know, understand that you have to be registered. But we're going to double check. If you email and say, yeah, Luke, our club's registered, we're going to double check to make sure that you are on there. Or if you're not, sometimes it takes 2 or 3 weeks in order for that registration to take place. And when you hit that one page enrollment on the AHA site, you get a confirmation that says, hey, it's going to take 2 or 3 weeks to process until you're up on the website. If you take a screenshot of that and send it to us, we can use that as your confirmation as well.
Great. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Question, is there a minimum?
Club member minimum?
Yep.
Are you a one-man club?
No, we're about
I'm just
five.
Kidding. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no, but it's like, is there, it's, we're starting it up. Haven't really registered yet, but we're about five guys or so. We want to start the club,
yep.
and we anticipate it growing and growing and growing because
yep.
there's no club around.
We're the carrier's using Great American's using a four person. I don't know where they came up with that, but you can get enrolled as long as you're an organized club with four members. You can get enrolled in the program.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. They want to. The intention of the program is to not insure individual homebrewers for the homebrewing that they do at home. That's not the intention of the program. The program is for organized clubs to provide coverage when they get together to have for their meetings or events, share strategies and share recipes and share their beer.
Hello, I appreciate your presentation today. I am the president of my club, and I'm also a claim guy, an insurance
All right.
guy. So. I've been getting a lot of questions from our folks, and a lot of the questions here suggest to me that some of these questions may be answered if we could view a specimen copy of these policies. Are they available?
They are. Now, again, with clubs that enroll in the program, we're not, to keep the cost down, we're not sending out full policies to every single club, but if you send me an email, on an individual basis, if you want that, we can send you specimen copies for you to review, absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Second question is,
sure.
We live and exist in a state where I don't think, based on my review of the law, that we social hosts have liquor liability.
Okay.
So we don't need that exposure. Is there a possibility that down the road there could be a menu option where we could choose either liquor liability or general liability or both in order to reduce a club's cost.
Yeah, at this point, I don't think that I think it's going to be a package type deal. But again, it's something that we can review as we go ahead. But I think at this point, it's going to be, I don't know if the carrier is willing to come down on that three, you know, the $3.50 is so aggressively priced that I don't know if that if you carve out the liquor liability that's going to affect the premium and if they'll do it on a one-off basis because of the master policy format.
Sure. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I'm actually pleasantly surprised and impressed with the depth and the insightful questions that everybody had. Clearly, the people who came here today wanted to know more, want to be responsible with their clubs, and I really want to thank you both for your time and your presentation. Cheers.
Thank you. Thanks.